This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Yesterday, New York City's Fifth Avenue was filled with the shouts and music of Puerto Rico, led by two famous Puerto Rican performers, singer Mark Anthony and his wife Jennifer Lopez. The joyful frenzy of the Puerto Rican Day Parade has been a tradition for almost 50 years and prompts many to ask what it means to be Puerto Rican.
People are always asking me, why are you Puerto Ricans so damn proud? And I wanted to address that very question in this documentary. And the only way that I could do that was to talk about our history. When I tell my family and friends the history of our ancestors, they're like, that's us. That's us today.
Actress Rosie Perez in an excerpt from a new film she directed for the independent film channel called Yo Soy Boricua. Pa' que tú lo sepas, I'm Puerto Rican, just so you know. It's a documentary about the history of her family and a broader lesson about the history of Puerto Rico. It covers the island's indigenous Taino Indians, the Spanish conquest, the takeover by the United States, the migration to the mainland, and the island's status as a U.S. Commonwealth. Its people are American citizens but have no representatives in Congress and can't vote for president. This hour, we'll discuss the unknown and frequently misunderstood history of Puerto Ricans with actress and director Rosie Perez, actor Jimmy Smits, who narrates the film, and Liz Garbus, who co-directed and co-produced it. Later in the hour, David Savage updates us on today's Supreme Court rulings on death row appeals. But first, Rosie Perez and what it means to be Puerto Rican. If you are Boricua, or if you have questions about the history of Puerto Rico and its people, give us a call. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Joining us today is the director of Yo Soy Boricua, actress Rosie Perez. She's at our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
Also in the studio in New York is Jimmy Smits, who narrates the film. Welcome to you as well.
Hi, Neil. Thanks. And I just want to tell you that we do interviews based on if the person could actually pronounce the title of the film. And you did good, so
why
we're here.
Well, thanks. It was a big risk, let me tell you. And Liz Garbus, who co-directed and co-produced the movie, her documentary films include Girlhood and the Academy Award-winning The Farm, Angola, USA. And it's good to have you as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Rosie Perez, how did you, I think she had an Academy Award nominated. Yes, that's right. Didn't win. Rosie Perez, how did you come to make this movie?
Well, it really came out of just frustration. I wanted to do a narrative film on the sterilization of Puerto Rican women, and I was just brought up with such opposition. They didn't think that it was interesting enough, important enough. They didn't think it was true, blah, blah, blah. And one day, it was always on the back burner for me to do films, various type of films about the Puerto Rican experience. Mm-hmm. And one day I was sitting at home watching the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and an ex-boyfriend of mine called me up and said, I can hear your people all the way over here in Brooklyn. Why are your people so damn loud? And I said, because we're proud. And he said, what do you guys got to be proud about? And I hung up the phone and I called my agent, Cal Bodie, right away. And it was just a light bulb moment for me, and I came up with the idea right on the spot for this documentary.
Mm-hmm. Liz Garbus, I guess you joined the project after that.
Yeah, well, Rosie pitched the project to IFC, and then they came to my company, Moxie Firecracker, which I have with my partner, Rory Kennedy. And Rosie, we didn't know really anything about any of this. I mean, I'm a native New Yorker, so I know about the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and I know plenty of Puerto Ricans, but I knew nothing about the history. And, you know, we sat down in a room with Rosie. Rosie had a notebook, you know, filled with 100 pages of handwritten notes about Puerto Rican history and passion, enough for, you know, a 12-part series. And we knew that there was this incredible body of information and history, and also a personal passion to make an amazing documentary. And there really just hadn't been anything like it. There had been nothing done. Nobody knew anything. You know, you can have educated, college educated, politically active people who live in New York City, you know, who live in, you know, one of the centers of Puerto Rican life in this country and know nothing about the history. And it seemed like it was the time was right. Mm-hmm. Well, time was overdue, I should say.
Yes.
Long past. Jimmy Smits, I guess you were the last to come into the project.
Well, Rosie had been talking about doing interviews with people regarding the parade for, mm-hmm. for some time. We have a lot of mutual friends. And then she called up one day and said, well, I have the DVD ready. And I said, well, what happened to the interview? No, and I felt very honored that she would ask for me to narrate the film. I was so moved when I saw that the file footage that she's accumulated with Liz and the fact that the film functions on a level in terms of what I think good documentary should be all about, is that the audience gets really engaged in a personal story with someone and tracks there, and you know, you can laugh and cry and go through all that, and at the same time you have this wonderful file footage and all the historical data there that without hitting you over the head with it.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, as you say, the movie begins and ends with the Puerto Rican Day Parade. So yesterday, were you guys out there?
We were out there in force.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were. The IFC channel all went and purchased a float. And so it was Jimmy and I and some of the people that I had interviewed in the documentary, Babito Garcia and Crazy Legs and Lee Quiñones. He's a world-renowned graffiti artist who designed the wonderful movie poster, and Evan Shapiro, the president. And, and my family was on the float with me, my cousin Sixto, my cousin Sylvia, and my cousin Freddie. And it was just a party. It was a nonstop party, and we had a ball.
Rosie's production company is called Ten in a Car Productions, so that's the way the float was. No, it was great. We had a great time. And the sea of just, you know, people out there with their flags and the pride and the sense of what being Puerto Rican in this country is all about, and the sense of New York. It was a great, great day.
I do have to ask, how many people greeted you, Jimmy Smits, as El Presidente?
endless number of people greeted him.
Shortest term in the world.
Nevertheless,
that's right.
A
come on, you know. Let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Evan. Evan's calling us from Rochester in New York.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I'm a social studies teacher in Rochester, New York, and it's an urban school, and we have a lot of Hispanic and Puerto Rican students. And my students have a lot of this pride that Ms. Perez is talking about, but when I ask them about their own history, they know very little. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you came up with that, with a lot of Puerto Ricans who don't know their own history, don't have a sense of self. Yeah, they know that they're Puerto Rican, but they don't, you know, have their history.
Rosie Perez.
Yes, and the reason for that is that the history is not taught in the public school system, and I think that that's a great show of disrespect. And because we are United States citizens, and as United States citizens, regardless of the fact that we're a commonwealth, we should be given the respect by our history being taught in the public school systems. And unless these Puerto Rican American students of yours have family that know their history and teach their children history, they're not going to know. And it's kind of like blaming the victim. It really isn't fair. And I truly believe that something should definitely change about that. And when I was speaking with Liz, when Garb is here, when we were talking about the demographic for the movie, and she asked me, what is your target audience? You remember that conversation? And I said, she goes, who are you making this movie for? And I said, for Puerto Ricans, for my people, for Latino people, and for everybody, but specifically for my people. Because they don't know. Majority of them, they don't know, and it's not their fault, and I want to change that. And you know, and I have to also say that I learned a lot along the way as well. And I was surprised to learn about certain events. I was just like, wow, I was like overwhelmed. And but I really think that something should change.
I wonder, I'm sorry, Liz, were you trying to get in there?
Well, I was just going to say also, you know, the film is, like Rosie said, for Puerto Rican Americans. But I think it's also for everybody, because the truth of the matter is there are a lot of parallels between the relationship between the United States and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and the way the United States, you know, treats various colonial territories, just from a foreign policy point of view. So I think there are a lot of parallels between the U.S. foreign policy with regards to Puerto Rico and current day issues. So I think it has a resonance for every American.
Was there any thought given as to whether you should make the film in English or in Spanish?
No, I mean, we didn't much. Rosie's shaking her head, too, because, you know, really, it's for IFC. It's a, you know, a channel which is broadcast here in the United States mainly. That's the main audience. And, you know, a lot of Puerto Ricans are mostly bilingual.
And which is another big, huge misconception. And also, everybody that we interviewed, you know, they were like, do you want us to speak in Spanish or English? I said, speak the way you feel comfortable. And so that wasn't really an issue.
And it turns out most of the people you interview speak in both simultaneously.
Yes, exactly.
Spanglish.
Yes.
Evan, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you, Evan.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Reginald. Reginald calling us from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Good afternoon. Appreciate you taking my time in the call. Just had a question I wanted to know is, how long has Puerto Rico been a territory of the United States? Because I'm retired military, and I have no idea.
Well, in 1898, the U.S. invaded Puerto Rico. So that was as a result of the Spanish-American War. And
in 1898, they invaded Puerto Rico as a result of the Spanish-American War with the purpose of liberating Puerto Rico and giving them their independence from Spain and allowing them to be a sovereign nation. That never occurred. And then I believe the Jones Act came along in 1917. Which gave Puerto Ricans on the island and Puerto Ricans living in the United States citizenship.
So we can serve in the military. There's taxation, but there's no, we can't vote for president. That's the whole thing about Commonwealth status.
And no representation in Congress, and obviously...
No representation.
No. There is some...
Non-voting member, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Non-voting...
Gee, just like the District of Columbia.
Yeah. I don't consider that representation.
Right, okay. Representation with quotes, right.
Yeah.
But I'll also add to Rosie, you said, you know, the U.S. went in there, you know, with the, you know, purpose of liberating. And I think liberating is one of those words, you know, we're using a little ironically, you know, like the way we might talk about Iraq today.
Reginald, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to have to take a short break now. We're talking about the documentary Yo Soy Boricua, a new film by Rosie Perez, looking at what it means to be Puerto Rican and New Yorican. We'll get into that after the break. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking with actors Rosie Perez and Jimmy Smits and filmmaker Liz Garbus. Their documentary, Yo Soy Boricua, gives a look at the history of Puerto Rico, its people, its politics, and its culture. At our website, you can watch video of the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City. And here's an excerpt from the movie, Rosie Perez talking about the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
The first time that I went to the Puerto Rican Day Parade, I remember seeing everybody dressed in the colors of the flag. The red, the blue, the white, just head to toe. And I was like, what is wrong with these people? Don't they think they're overdoing it just a little bit? You know? And then all of a sudden on the way, you know, this guy is handing out flags, and then I wanted the flags. And then I wanted the beads. And then I wanted the handkerchief. And then I wanted the t-shirt. And then I wanted that and this and that. And I wanted to really, really make sure that day made me feel a part of it.
And with us from our bureau in New York, Liz Garbus, Jimmy Smits, and Rosie Perez, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And here's an email from Cecilia. I'm the daughter of a Puerto Rican man raised in Michigan. I do not know Spanish or anything about the history or culture of Puerto Rico. Whenever I would ask my late father, his answer was always, you're American. Don't worry about it. Will this documentary be shown in theaters or on TV? I live in the Metro Detroit area and would love to see this movie. Thank you, Rosie, for making it. Well, it does run tonight on IFC, the independent film channel, on cable television. But Rosie Perez, that tension about assimilation, being American or Puerto Rican, that's a lot of what your film is about.
Yes, it is. And to her, I wouldn't feel bad about not speaking Spanish because my Spanish is very poor. And I tried to address that and explain that in the documentary, is that when if she's first generation or second or third generation American here, our parents came over here and endured such prejudice and such racism, and they were in such shock that out of love for their children, although in my opinion, misguided. They wanted their children to speak English first, and they wanted their children to assimilate so that they can be successful in their country and not endure what they had to endure. And so there are a few Latin Americans, not just Puerto Rican Americans, but Latin Americans that do fall under the situation that the young lady who just emailed us. And, you know, if I would like, I hope that she watches tonight on the IFC channel, because I was very vulnerable, although I didn't want to. I was pressured by Liz Garbus and Murray Kennedy to do so. But I talk about how shameful it was for me to not speak proper Spanish, and how my grammar was incorrect, and how I was ridiculed when I went back to the island to visit my other family and relatives, and they would call me a white girl. And it just hurt so much, as if I wasn't Puerto Rican enough. And thank God, God bless America, that my aunt loved me so much and instilled so much pride in me. You know, and I know not everybody else has an aunt or a person in their life that would do that or has done that. Mm-hmm. And you know, and there's other participants in the documentary that address that as well, such as Bobito Garcia. His father was worked for the United States court system, and he didn't want his children speaking Spanish. And he definitely also, Bobito states that he didn't want his children to have an accent whatsoever. He wanted them to speak with an American accent, an American dialect, so that, you know, they could be prosperous Americans.
I think it also has something to do with the fact that the Puerto Rican community, the migration process in the 40s and the 50s was being one of the first of the big Latin American communities to come here. We fall into that category, as did Italian Americans or any other buddy that comes to this country during that time, that you can have parts of your identity, but the thing is to become American, to, you know, to share in the American dream. I had a reverse immigration process, because I grew up in New York and then moved to Puerto Rico to go to school for a number of years, and I was called El Yankee in school.
Yeah. But this is also, as I explained in the documentary, which was extremely specific to the Puerto Rican experience, a direct result of U.S. policy. It was a program called Operation Bootstrap that encouraged Puerto Ricans from the island to come to the United States to become a true patriot, to become a true American, and they offered them lower airfare and just presented the United States as a land of milk and honey. But their credentials on the island were not recognized or respected once they got to America, such as my aunt. She went to the University of Puerto Rico, but when she came to the United States, she could only get a job in a garment factory. And a little known fact of that program of Operation Bootstrap that the islanders were not privy to was that the United States wanted to get the big businesses, the big corporations down there, and they wanted to reduce the population down there so that they didn't have to worry about the workforce. They didn't have to worry about employing everybody down there. So, she can understand her father a little bit and understand where he was coming from. It may not be right. It may not be wrong. But at least she could try to understand when she watches the documentary.
Let's get another caller in. This is Richard. Richard with us from Grand Junction in Colorado.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Richard.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to say hello to Rosie and Jimmy. It's great to be able to talk with you all.
Hello.
As a New Yorker who now lives in Colorado, I moved here a couple of years ago. I did feel a duality in that. While I had the fierce pride, which I never felt was genuine, at the same time I always had a sense of shame, not knowing where I came from, what my real history was. So I never felt like I quite belonged, you know. And I felt like, kind of like what Rosie was saying, that like people looked at me funny, you know. And now I've got two daughters. And living in Colorado, where there's not a large group of Puerto Ricans, that I've got a sense of responsibility to try and teach them what I know, and teach them the Spanish that I speak, because here the biggest community that there is Latin-wise is Mexican, you know. So I feel a great responsibility, still not having that great great connection that I wish I had when I grew up.
Well, hopefully the documentary will augment what you're passing down to your lovely family.
I would love to see the documentary. And too bad I didn't know about it when I was over there in New York. I would have loved to have auditioned.
It'll be on IFC.
Well, it's a documentary, so it wasn't you didn't miss out because there was no auditions. We just interviewed people at random.
Well, it would have been nice to appear on it anyway.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure once you see it, you'll see your voice in it, and I hope that it'll ease some of the pains from the past, and because I relate to you.
Richard, while you're there, let me ask you all this question. This is an email we got from Betty. Why do Puerto Ricans get upset when someone thinks they are Mexican? Why do many Puerto Ricans look down on Mexican culture? I've seen this in my classroom, and it's created tension among different Latin cultures. Richard, as you say, most of the Hispanic people where you live are in fact Mexican.
Right. And what I found is that if you would ask a Mexican were to get confused with any other culture, it'd probably be the same reaction. I know when I was in New York, Dominicans didn't like being thought of as Puerto Ricans, and you know what I mean. Even though there was a kindredship, it was still don't mistake me for something that I'm not.
It's basically don't lump us into one whole pot. It's
right.
That we're different.
We're not
and just out of respect. You know, you wouldn't call a Frenchman a German just because they come from Europe.
Exactly.
I mean, you would think that was asinine, you know, and that's how we view it. If someone was to call me a Mexican, I would say, I'm not a Mexican. It's no disrespect to Mexicans.
Right.
It's just that I'm not a Mexican. I'm Puerto Rican. Respect what I am.
Right.
And I think that's what it really is about.
Right.
And I think it's also the story of, you know, of people coming to this. I mean, what America is, it's a collection of different peoples from all over the world. And the problem is if you don't honor the history and you don't pay its respect, then you're going to get tension that you're talking about in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there are many immigrant groups that have come to this country who have been very well established and they've risen to the upper classes and they, you know, have wielded enormous influence on culture and business. And it's been easy. But when you have cultures that have had been discriminated against and haven't had that history respected, there's more tension. So it's part of a sort of a larger picture.
Richard, thanks for the call. Good luck.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoy tonight, Richard.
Let's get Napoleon on the line. Napoleon calling from Milwaukee.
Hi. How you doing, Rosie?
And Hi, Napoleon.
Hi. I just moved. I'm from the U.S. I'm from Ohio, but I just moved to Puerto Rico. I live in Ceiba. And I'm back in town just to get my kids. And I'm bringing back down there, so we'll be going to school in Ceiba and all of that. So I just wanted to know if you knew anything about, I happen to notice that there's not hardly any racism down there. Even the whitest of white Puerto Rican would think embraces their African-American culture. So I just wanted to know your comments on that. And also, why is it that it's so hard to get a Puerto Rican to talk to you, a Puerto Rican woman to talk to you on the street. You just can't walk up and say that.
Oh, that's a whole hour, man.
And I really love Puerto Rican culture, and I'm learning to eat my fungo and all of that stuff, and I talk about it a lot on my blog, and I just thought it was just, you know, ironic that I just happened to hear you driving back with my kids and everything. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I just wanted y'all to comment on that if you knew anything about that.
Sure. Well, I hope you watch tonight on IFC channel and a lot of your questions will be answered. It's because on the island, a Puerto Rican is comprised of the Taino Indians, which are the indigenous people, the Africans who came over from the slave ships and either ran away from other countries or were actually brought to the island for slavery, Germans, French, Irish, and Dutch. That's what, and Spanish, of course. That's what comprises a Puerto Rican. And in the and also there was this gentleman called Ramon Petentes down on the island who abolished, demanded, and finally received the abolishment of slavery prior to it being abolished here in the United States. And in Puerto Rico, people have great respect for the African culture because they understand that they are also part of it, that they come from that. So it's a bit different. There is a touch of color issues in Puerto
Rico. There's the whole light-dark psychology.
Light-dark, but if you're Puerto Rican, you're Puerto Rican. And the African culture is greatly respected on the island. because of that history. Okay. And about the Puerto Rican women, I don't know. Maybe it's your approach. You know what I'm saying?
I got to keep trying. I guess keep trying.
Well, it's always keeping trying, Napoleon. Hey, drive safely, will you?
All right, thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking today with filmmakers Rosie Perez, Jimmy Smits, and Liz Garbus. Their new film, Yo Soy Boricua, it opens tonight. Plays tonight for the first time on television on IFC, the Independent Film Channel. If you'd like to join our conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's another email, this one from Angel in Texas. Being a fellow Puerto Rican born and raised in New York, I'm so proud to be Puerto Rican. Since I can remember, I've always been proud to tell anyone who would listen that I'm Puerto Rican and bestowing upon them all the contributions that this small group of people have made to the world, from sports to architecture to medicine and music. I grew up in a family of 18 people and survived the streets of New York. My parents worked hard and taught us the difference between right and wrong. If you're not born on the island of Puerto Rico, you are considered a New Yorican, a gringo. I beg to differ. I am just as much a Puerto Rican as a native. The best way I could share my pride was to join the military and serve over 20 years in the United States Air Force. It allowed me to take my culture, my music, to many parts of the world, such as Panama, Texas, and Germany. So to all that are listening today, we are few, but just like the Marines, we are proud. And Rosie Perez is a wonderful moment where you greet your father, someone who really did very much the same kind of thing.
Yes. And also, I want to address the issue of if you're not born on the island, you're a New Yorican. That's a fallacy. And that's why I called the documentary Yo Soy Boricua, Pa' Que Tú Lo Sepa, which means I'm a Boricua, just so you know. Because if you talk to people, a Boricua is a person who is native to the island of Puerto Rico, native to the island of Borinquen, or if they're children. And also their children. So whether you were born in New York or Colorado or Wisconsin or Wichita, Kansas, if you're a Puerto Rican, you're a Puerto Rican. And no one should take that respect away from you, and don't allow them to. And that also comes from propaganda, because they also tried to create a desertion between amongst the islanders and the people here. And we just fell right into that trap. And, you know, with the younger generation, that is going away. Thank goodness. Also, the second part of the question, I'm sorry.
This was a man who
With my father,
joined the military,
yes.
And so did your dad.
Yeah, my father was, my father and my uncle served in World War II and the Korean War, and my uncle enlisted in Vietnam. And the reason for that is that they love America. Although they still live on the island, they love America and they believe in democracy and they believe in the American way. And it just hurts me that they can't vote for president and they have to pay taxes, you know, and they serve their country well. But it is what it is. That's my personal opinion. And there are so many Puerto Ricans that fall into that category, you know, that serve their country, put their time in, and just are really proud Americans as well as being proud Puerto Ricans.
And I mean, without having, you know, most of the listeners here having seen the documentary yet, I mean, one of the things that's extraordinary about the love that Puerto Ricans have for this country is all the stuff that they've gone through from this country. I mean, you know, one of the things that we talk about in the documentary that was, you know, one of Rosie's initial ideas about making this film is the sterilization. I mean, there were birth control pills that were tested on Puerto Rican women that made them sick. Puerto Rican women were sterilized as part of a mass population reduction policy. You know, so much stuff has gone down, and the love that the Puerto Ricans still have for this country is amazing, given that history, and given the fact that there is really a dual standard about citizenship, and that people can pay taxes and serve the army, but they can't vote for their president. And all of those things, you know, combined to make and still having this pride and this love for the country is really amazing.
We're going to have to take a short break, and when we continue, we'll take more of your calls with Rosie Perez, Jimmy Smits, and Liz Garbus. And again, their film debuts this evening on IFC, the Independent Film Channel. That's on cable television in many of your areas. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. We'll also be talking with David Savage of the Los Angeles Times. Today, the Supreme Court issued a couple of rulings on appeals from death row inmates involving DNA and also the use of lethal injections. So we'll have that after the break. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In a few minutes, David Savage will join us to help explain this morning's Supreme Court decisions, death row appeals about DNA and the death penalty. And first, though, we're talking about the film Yo Soy Boricua, a documentary by Rosie Perez and Liz Garbus, narrated by Jimmy Smith, a look at the history of Puerto Rico and its people. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's get another caller on the line. Mike is with us. Mike calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Okay, good, I think.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Great. Hey, first of all, it's a privilege. Rosie and Jimmy, I think your talent, both of you, is just incredible as actors. So I appreciate having the chance to talk to you. I did have a question.
Thank you.
What is your personal feeling for both of you on statehood for Puerto Rico? I don't know if, you know, you cover this in the documentary at all, but I'd be curious to see, you know, your personal opinions. Do you think it's a good thing, bad thing, and, you know, where do you stand?
We address it in the documentary by only having a title card towards the end of the documentary. And here's the irony. Less than 1%, the last time the issue of statehood was voted on the island, less than 1% voted for independence, less than 2% voted for as-is Commonwealth, 47% voted for statehood in way over 50%. The remaining 50% voted for none of the above.
Go figure.
Go figure.
So it's like, bring us a better proposition, please.
Something else,
basically,
please.
Yeah. That was the feeling that we got for the people on the island. They said that, you know, they didn't bring any real respectful, viable option to the table. So we're just gonna vote for none of the above. My personal opinion has changed. I had this romanticized feeling for independent, for our country to just be its own nation, because that's what they initially wanted from the beginning, prior to Spain coming in and committing genocide. And then when I went down to the island, the people told me, you know what? You don't live here. You do not. It would be as if you would tell New Jersey who should be their mayor. You live in New York City. And I said, wow, that's a good point. And they said, and, you know, the issue of independence is not as great down here as you may think. We love the United States. We still want to be an ally to the United States. But if independence comes along, we may jeopardize that. And I said, so do you want to be statehood? No, we're not saying that either. It's very, very complicated. And Jimmy, would you like to share your point of view?
Well, sir, it is very, very complicated. Certainly, you know, there's a concern about losing the cultural identity if you become the 51st state, and
yes, because you would have to English would be the official language,
and the feelings about can the island survive as an independent entity is questionable at this point. So it's just we need better options.
They were fighting over each other about who's going to answer this one. But the other thing is United States has responsibility, because the United States came in and changed. You know, the Puerto Rico actually had a thriving economy, and there was agriculture, there was all this stuff, and then you know what, U.S. came in and it turned, like, you know, all these amazing agricultural areas into military bases, and it messed up Vieques, and it, you know, these sugar cartels came in and took, yeah, you know, took the profits out of the island to the mainland United States. So it's not like, okay, you want to be alone or you want to be this way. I mean, you know, we also have a responsibility for what, you know, you reap what you sow, and you know, I don't know what the solution is, but.
Yes, because that's a good point that you brought up, Liz, because after 20 years after the United States came in 1898, after 20 years, Puerto Rico established its first slums. They never had slums prior to the United States being there. And because they displaced the farm workers, they displaced the farm, the landowners, and they put in factories and military bases and just raped the land and left the people with no way to make a living. And my father and my family, my grandmother, my great-grandmother were one of those people who were forced to live in a two-room shack. And that's a beautiful point you brought up, Liz. And, you know, they do owe us something. Mm. So it's not so simple as checking off A, B, or C.
And it may have to do with I mean, you know, it's complicated and there's no answer, but it may have to do with investment in the island. There was a Manhattan Project when, you know, Europe was changing. You know, it may have to do with investment in the island. I mean, you have a certain commitment once you've gone in somewhere and kind of messed it up a little bit. You know, we see that today.
Mike, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks, Mike.
And an email sort of on the same subject you were talking earlier about taxation. This is from Julia in the U.S. Virgin Islands, who writes, there is no taxation in the sense of paying into the U.S. Treasury. You pay income tax, but it stays in Puerto Rico, but you still get U.S. federal money, millions and millions of it. And she suggests that's perhaps why Puerto Ricans do not want statehood.
No, that's not necessarily true. And also, the latest event in Puerto Rico where their government closed down, they closed down because the Commonwealth government on the island and the legislative branch here in the United States couldn't agree upon their financial issues. And when they went bankrupt, they were forced to borrow over $700 million from the United States government, and they are going to have to pay that back by they're going to raise the taxes that are on the island. So that is not necessarily true.
Yeah, and Puerto Ricans are taxed on Social Security and to pay for Medicare programs. I mean, some of the money stays in the island, but some of the money goes to the federal government.
Yes, and that is also a big misconception, and that also lends to the prejudice that Puerto Ricans are lazy, they're all on welfare and what have you, and it's just not true.
What is true is that large American companies have enjoyed tax incentives to be there for years.
That's
and years.
Right.
No. Rosie Perez, before we let you go, let me ask you a little bit about this is your first movie, as I understand. What was it like being on you're on both sides of the camera in this one.
Well, being a director was very scary for me, and I would have a numerous of panic attacks, right, Liz?
You.
And then also Liz and Rory got pregnant at the beginning of the project, and I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? But they were extremely supportive. But I had a few meltdowns here and there. But, you know, I just had to push through that fear and wear the hat of a director. And once I did that, it became much easier. It was still a tough job, and I have great respect now for filmmakers. I always did, but even more so. But it was tough. But the toughest part, I would have to say, is being in front of the camera. I did not want to be in front of the camera. I was just going to interview people and ask them to be vulnerable and honest about their experience. But it was Liz Garbus and Roy Kennedy. They tricked me. They said, you know, oh, so we're pregnant and we need to know your point of view, and we just want to get your thoughts down for narrative. You did. She did this. And
Not because we're pregnant, though. You gotta leave
that. Yeah. Well, I used their pregnancy as an excuse. I was like, oh, you girls are hormonal. This is a terrible idea. But and Rory put me on tape, and she kept asking me personal questions, and I was getting very emotional. And I was like, okay, you're not going to use this, right? We're not using this. This is, you can't show these to anybody. You know, no one's ever seen me in this light, and I don't want them to. And then afterwards, they gave me a call and said, we really feel strongly that this has to be part of the documentary. You have to be a participant as well. And I know it's scary, but to be a real filmmaker, you're going to have to just go along with this and do this. And I thank them. I thank them.
And to your credit, you went right there, because, you know, the film is, I think, really warm and inviting because you let people into your story. And Rosie realized that was best for the film. And just Rosie as a director, she has so much passion and so much knowledge and such a vision that, you know, it was fantastic. It was great.
You can see the result tonight on the Independent Film Channel, which is cable television. Yo soy Boricua, pa que tú lo sepas.
And also... can I just say that if you, you know, everyone, please tune in tonight. If you don't have ISC, go over to your neighbor's house who does. Please
have
see
a Boricua
this movie.
Party.
And it will be played again on the 27th of this month and throughout and afterwards throughout the rest of the month in July. And it will later be available in I think, late summer, early fall on Netflix.
On DVD, yeah.
DVD.
Rosie Perez, Jimmy Smits, Liz Garbus, thank you all very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Neil.
And good luck with
so
the movie.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we'll be talking about today's Supreme Court decisions with David Savage.